In this episode, I sit down with Dilito Ngoma, a businessman, entrepreneur, and also close family friend, to talk about business branding through the lens of the billionaire blueprint, Jay-Z. Jay-Z is a mogul, probably your favorite mogul's favorite mogul, and has revolutionized the relationship between Black culture and corporate America. I thought Dilito would be a great person to speak with just because he has so much experience with sports, business, commerce, everything that involves big money. And he also really understands what it is like to be the person leveraging your own value due to his background and experience. I'm sure that Jay-Z does not need any introduction, but if you didn't know, Jay-Z is an iconic rapper considered one of the best of all time and is also one of the few Black billionaires we have, and is joined alongside P. Diddy as one of the only Black billionaires that made it through hip-hop. Jay-Z is an inspiration and has motivated and inspired the careers of pretty much every rapper that we've discussed on this first season. The first thing I just want to talk about with Jay-Z, I think, he is internationally recognized as a mogul, but I think it's really important that people really nail down that along with, I would say, you know, like Diddy, they completely revolutionized the commercial relationship that Black culture has with corporate America. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think so as well, because I think Jay's got a term that goes, I'm not a businessman, I am the businessman. And remember, I've heard loads about him talking about like how the normal relationship is they just want you to be the face to promote the product and then they move on. Well, he's always been like, no, let's share in this, be partners, so I can get some equity. So that's, you know, that's really, really changed the game in terms of like the relationship between big corporations and individuals.
100%. And something I want you to give me an insight into, because obviously you really know the sports world. What was the difference between the hip hop artist relationship with the commercial world versus the athlete? Both in terms of being representative of Black culture and getting, you know, the Black dollar, quote unquote, into those industries. Do you think that the hip hop world, you know, revolutionized it in a way that sport never did? Just because I see there's a lot of money in both and a lot of Black people.
Yeah, well, the kind of paralleled in terms of the relationship of, you know, Black culture is a huge part of both in terms of how the big corporations dealt with it. I'd say probably music started, people like Jay started, you know, to see themselves more than just artists. And that's trickled down to sort of football, where you're seeing a lot of athletes have realizing, hey, we've got all the power because everyone comes to see us. And it's the same thing on the music side, where artists now are starting to realize we're the main attraction, and the corporations are just, you know, they're making money off our back. So there is a huge parallel in that. And then, like, in terms of when you see, like, one of the big things with Jay was how diversified he is, where he's got not just Roc Nation, but Roc Nation Sports, which sort of goes across that. And you've got Roc Nation Sports now, which is probably the biggest sporting agency in the world within 5 years, you know, because people have realized the model of independence and the model that Jay actually brings, because he's been an artist. He's been in a similar industry, so he empowers athletes to do that. And they all see that. And then all the top athletes now, whether it's football, I'm not going to say soccer, whether it's football, basketball, everyone goes that right now, which is sort of, it's sort of changed the power structure. Yeah. It's changed the power structure. Absolutely. Which is amazing to see.
Well, it's a great mogul lesson. And it's something that Lorraine and I, in the first episode, when we're talking about Nicki Minaj, in the context of the female rap world, just sort of this idea that, you know, Nicki Minaj called herself the female Jay, named her fourth or her third album The Pink Print, precisely because she modeled herself after Jay-Z. And she was trying to share that, you know, with the female rap class and say, look, don't sign these rubbish deals. And unfortunately, in pursuit of the Nicki Minaj lifestyle, a lot of extremely talented women signed themselves extremely exploitative deals because they wanted to come into it. And so I was wondering, and I appreciate you may not be able to perfectly comment on this as you're not a woman, but I was wondering whether you think having, you know,
in hip hop, Jay-Z, and in football, you know, other important figures who are able to show, look, I'm going to the negotiating table, I'm coming away with the lion's share. Do you think, because there's lots of examples of that, or more examples of that on the male side, whereas with women, it is easier, let's say, for a man to come into the business and say, look, I want to be the next Jay. Whereas if you're a woman trying to come into these big, you know, big business, and you're like, I want to be the next Jay, the reception will be slightly different just because there are less examples.
Yeah, I think to what you're saying, representation is important. So, like you said, it's more difficult for you know, female rappers in the industry, because there's been such little glorified representation, if you see. Whereas in, you know, on the male side, there's more examples to go by. So,
the bosses, Nas, Jay-Z.
Yeah, exactly. So that, you know, that then, so when you've got younger artists who then see now, like a Nicki Minaj, and that starts to trickle down. So, you know, the hope is that in the next 10 years, you start seeing a lot more female artists using that blueprint and then building it forward, and then, it, you know, trickle down. So representation really is, you know, is important.
Yeah. You need to see moguls to think that you can be a mogul. And I think you and I are very lucky in the sense that we have, you know, mogul mums. And so, you know, have that insight at family. But I think we knew uniquely, probably, and any kid who's got an entrepreneur parent, especially an entrepreneur single parent, and you will know, you know, it's built into you to believe that you can do anything. That's why we've got to have more representations of, you know, that's why I love something important that Jay-Z's always talked about, same thing Nipsey's always talked about, same thing Nicki's always talked about, is empowering people with free information. You know, they're giving us the blueprint, because they're like, look, it costs me nothing to tell you how to set yourself up for life.
Yeah, and a lot of Jay's music is him giving information. Like, my favorite of all time Jay-Z album is 444. Because the whole album is basically him giving you basically jewels on how he's done stuff. And like, you know, like you were saying there, in terms of you need to see someone do it. Seeing someone do it gives you the blueprint, the, you know, do this, don't do that, you know, don't do this. And Jay's got a line that says, I did that, so you don't have to go through that. So it's basically, when you see someone, you can analyze, okay, they've done it this way, they've done it this way, this works. Uh-huh. And what you get now with your Jay-Z's, your Nicki's, now people are vocal about what doesn't work, so the information's out there. So, for, you know, new artists now are armed with information that maybe Jay and Nicki didn't have when they were young, when they first came in. So that's, you know, that's why it's important to have representation.
100%. I feel you so hard on that. And something else that I wanted to talk about in relation to this sort of relationship between Black culture and the commercial world is how, you know, Jay-Z, in changing the nature of the relationship, in sort of doing, you know, Nipsey also referred to this in line 360-ing himself, he's received a lot of flack, you know, for being money hungry or being whatever. But something I've noticed about the way Jay-Z's gone is I think that he's shown that there is value in the Black experience and Black culture. In multifacets, even things that we may never have thought before. You know, who would have thought that someone standing in front of a microphone, you know, rapping about their thoughts and feelings could sell a million Samsungs? Like, who would have thought?
That's exactly that. And like, the most important thing is leverage. So like, you know, we talk about the big thing is Jay-Z's a billionaire, but if you look at it, his actual music catalog wouldn't even be a third of that. He's used his leverage as the rapper to put himself in multiple business situations, whether it's Tidal, Roc Nation, you know, Duce. He's used that to, you know, to not just say, hey, I won't just be the face, but I'll put myself in these positions, in these business positions, which is unbelievable when you think about how many people have been the it rapper and haven't used that leverage to, you know, to have other positions.
Right. So on the money. And that's the thing about, you know, Jay-Z's also talked about this as well. You're hot for a moment. So he says, you know, you get this moment, you get this white hot moment where there's nothing you can do that's wrong. and everything you touch turns to gold. Every goat has this moment. That's why they're the goat. The critical thing is what you think about what you're going to do after this moment. So where are we going to go beyond this? And that's something that is, I understand in this world of instant gratification, you know, why would you think beyond anything else when currently you're like 20 million up and everyone loves you? It's because the world changes and people will want something else. And the great thing about Jay-Z and, like you said, you know, having a portfolio that's built on more things than music is, I don't let, like, as much as Jay-Z is the GOAT, I don't want to hear Hov all the time. That doesn't mean he's not the GOAT, but it means that I can still go on YouTube though, and I can still watch a documentary, or I can still engage with Tidal, his digital platform. You know, I've got options.
Yeah, like you were saying, and just to follow up on what you said, when Jay said you're only the white hot thing once, he also goes on to say, like, everyone has their moment. So he mentioned himself and 50 Cent, and you're talking about 50, and he was saying people don't realize 50 was comparable or bigger to Drake in the early 2000s. And what 50's done is 50's slowly weaned himself from just being the rapper to doing, to acting, to doing movies, to doing loads of TV deals, because, like you were saying, this doesn't last forever. And if you notice Jay's blueprint now, Jay's not putting out albums every other year like he used to. It's once every 5 years. But he's using that to leverage other situations because he realizes being the white hot thing is temporary. So the smart ones, the people who are perceptive enough to know, okay, I'm really hot right now. I'm going to use me being really hot right now to put myself in position, you know, for later on in life. Those are the ones that, you know, are relevant when they're 50 or, you know, or in advancing ages.
I think there's this thing about, you know, I always think about this in the context of female rap. I recently was listening to Doja Cat, and Doja Cat is comparable to, I mean, I would say if you're going to do a survey of Nicki Minaj's fans that have heard of Doja Cat, a solid 60% of them probably would agree that she is the princess. So they consider her Nicki's successor. So I always found it curious and I wanted to know why. And so I started listening to Doja Cat and I can hear, you know, the fun elements. So sort of what Nicki brought into rap, like that ridiculous sort of like, he got that 6 foot kind of guy that I kind of like that kind of ridiculousness.
Yeah.
But also banging beats, excellent production range. And I thought to myself, Nicki taught people to enjoy this kind of product. And now that they know that they like that product, they don't necessarily want her all the time. But you can maintain your presence and your relevance in a range of ways.
Yeah, because like, you know, like, you know what you were saying, people need a blueprint to, you know, to know they can do it. Nicki is the blueprint, isn't she? Because we all, like, people who are our age in the early or mid-20s, and that includes entertainers, they would have seen that. They'd have known, okay, this route works for Nicki, you know, and then for her as well. What I do notice about Nicki from a standpoint is she does welcome that in terms of, I think they're both similar in terms of when they see artists, they're not who are kind of fruit of their tree. They don't shun that, and they encourage that, which is really, really important. Which is really, really important, because that's how things move forward with having new talent in that. You know, it's kind of, you know, homage in a small type of way.
And it develops the space as well. You know, Jay-Z, I think someone like Jay-Z who occupies this position of being a black billionaire, what he invests in is extremely important. You know, everyone knows about the Elon Musk effect. You know, Elon Musk tweets, Tesla's stock goes up. Elon Musk says something is important, its stock goes up. And the Elon Musk effect, I wouldn't even attribute it just to him. That's just what happens when, you know, that's market speculation. But what I'm trying to say is that the black community, the black culture, if you look at it as an internal circular economy, we've decided who our titans are. There is a reason every single female rap girl, period, goes for a Nicki cosign first, because they recognize that my stock goes up when Nicki Minaj has recognized me. In hip hop, your stock goes up when Jay-Z, Nas, Cole, Kendrick, Drake, Nicki, Wayne, all they recognize you. And in business, your stock goes up. So what I'm saying is in Black culture, the thing that I thought was really important about Tidal is it started to help people develop a relationship to say, look, this has been invested in. So this is Black art that's been invested in by a Black billionaire. This is good Black art and you should support it. And what I think has happened, or what I think is slow to change, is a lot of people are still looking towards things like the Grammys, Billboard, yeah, you know, very white-owned, led corporate, you know, entities. Nothing wrong with that, but they are, to validate Black culture. But that was never what the relationship that Jay-Z and the other innovators wanted. They never said, no, 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 no. We still own the material. It's still ours. Don't get us wrong. Like, we never sign anything over.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
what we agree is like, look, if I can get X thousand or 100,000, you know, ticket holding people in a seat with this mixtape, you can trust me to sell X amount from your merchandise or the garments that I'm wearing. Because mm-hmm, not everyone bought a ticket, but everyone will see the picture.
Yeah,
now you're leveraging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's like the thing, you know, like say, in, you know, in rap with Kanye, people don't necessarily love some of the stuff he says. But as you know, in the Black community, we love Kanye. So when he puts out Yeezys, no matter if he was on Twitter doing whatever, we support it. Now, the people who are successful, you know, they realize that, like people like Jay. Jay is absolutely, you know, he's one of the gatekeepers in our community, whether you know or not. So when Jay said, you know, when Jay puts out a product, we support that. And what's really intelligent is he realizes, okay, I've got the support of my community. I can use that as leverage. So like you're saying, people, you know, the big corporations, when they go to him, they know he's bringing this to the table. So then it's not, you know, then they know because he's got the leverage, they then have to acquiesce to him as a business partner. Would not as they would have seen just any, you know, any normal rapper. So that's a big thing to have.
It does. And so when he does something like, you know, I referenced in the Nipsey episode that Jay-Z bought into Nipsey's mixtapes, you know, bought 1,000 copies, $100 yeah, each. You know, he's done that. He'll buy people's products because he's showing his investment.
That's the first way I actually heard of Nipsey. That was like, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I heard about it because it was a really popping headline. He got the J. Cole sign because Jay bought 100 copies. So in my mind, okay, if Jay has co-signed this person, let me go and see what they're about. Then it just turns out you like that artist. But it's to what you were saying, like with the Nicki co-sign, because we trust him as a gatekeeper, because we trust, you know, we trust who he is. If he co-signs someone, I'm going to go listen.
Exactly. And that, I think it's really, really essential that we just remember that, you know, what I think is super important. And I'm glad you mentioned 444. And if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't, you know, fully dived into Jay-Z, I wouldn't say that you'd go wrong by starting with that album. And also and stuff that he's done around that album, really interesting. If you know Beyonce and Jay-Z, even in name, then you'll get the context. So just enjoy it. But you know, he was giving, like you talked about earlier, giving the keys, giving the breakdowns. But I just really think ultimately people need to understand that, you know, don't laugh at people like Jay-Z when they're saying, no, trust me, you think I made myself a billionaire off this? I'm just one person. Like, look how many billions Jeff Bezos has got. Like, yeah, there is so much equity that can be cracked and released from Black culture. But I really feel, because I still don't think people understand how valuable like creative expression is. And especially Black creative expression drives most of popular culture at this point.
Like, that's it. That's it. Black culture moves things forward and it's exploited, but it's exploited by people outside of it. And that's the thing. Like, you know, like what you were saying about the Grammys. I would watch the Grammys to see my favorite artist. I don't watch the Grammys because they're the Grammys. I watch them to go and see Jay, B, you know, all those people. So it's more, you know, when we realize, okay, we have the, you know, our culture moves stuff. Instead of letting others, outsiders, come and make money off it, why don't we do that? You know, which I think was the intended thing with Tidal is, you know, we're letting Spotify and Billboard decide all, you know, decide all these things. Have we got a platform that represents us? So that's, you know, that's important.
It's important. And I was going to say, do you want to know a cool flex?
Okay.
Nicki Minaj's Queen Radio had a bigger radio audience than the Grammys live show did. I don't know if it's the last Grammy for that, but she had a big, on her Apple radio show, had a bigger audience than the Grammys. So, who needs
them? No, but like, you know, like to what you were saying before, like, the problem, one of the big things with Black culture is we go where we're tolerated, not celebrated. So if there was this big clamor to go to the BET Awards instead of the Grammys, you know, let's make that hot. Let's make a platform, because I hear artists every year complain about how the Grammys always got it wrong. Well, why are we giving them such power? Why don't we go and create a platform where, you know, we recognize excellence?
That's the thing. Like, I think if people think about it like this, right? You put on a carnival, right? Obviously, who's going to make money? So let's just think. You've got, obviously, the people at the carnival. Cool. The tickets, maybe the ride operators. Cool. What do people need? People need to eat, drink, and sit down. So all the vendors can go and put up stalls at the carnival. They can get custom. But even then, before that, people have got, they got to park somewhere. So maybe you can have valets and people like that making money, or someone, or people like that. Then you can also have people who've got street vendors, you know, because people are going to be walking around. There's going to be more people in town. Then you got all the shops. My point is that the whole village can eat if everybody gets behind something focused. You know, everybody can win. It's like Nicki says, you know, real bitches listen when I'm speaking, because if Nicki win, then all of y'all getting meetings. You know, if things like Tidal are successful, it's better for all of us. Yeah. You know, and this is the thing. I think people need to think. When I look at the big four in tech and all of this, I already know that these organizations at the top, the leadership is going to be a white man. I already know that. It's like default. Wouldn't it be nice if we thought of the biggest record labels? Like, I'm not talking record label like label, I'm talking about the corp. And we knew that it's a Black owned organization. Wouldn't it be nice to know that all the billions of dollars trickling around
that we're spending
are going, you know, into that circular economy? That's the kind of thing I think. That's why Jay-Z, I think, is very much a billionaire blueprint for Black moguls, because he, you know, and I think Nipsey, may rest in peace, I think Nipsey would have touched things like that as well. Like, really knowing how to leverage the culture. And I think before, you know, I'll get off my soapbox, but I think when people realize how much they shot themselves in the foot by robbing Nicki Minaj of her credentials as a Black culture pioneer, they'll realize that they ended up selling off something so rare and precious in female rap to any record label that has enough money to put the right sort of clothes and wigs on someone. They cheapened it because they didn't value it when it was supposed to be valued in the way that it should have been. And now the brand itself means less. And this, you can argue the same thing is happening with hip hop as a whole.
Yeah, like, but I think the thing with people like Nicki, I think it's going to be retrospective. It's going to be when X amount of years go by and she's not as active as she, you know, I mean, she's not as active as she once was now, but when she's not around as much, people are going to look back and think, oh God, we did this, or she was right about that. That's, you know, that's what happened. You know, that's what happens a lot with all this information that Jay puts out. Actually, no, we'll use Nipsey for a second. All this information that Nipsey was putting out was out there when he was alive. It's become more pertinent now that he's dead, because, you know, have you noticed ever since he passed, his information's everywhere. So I think, I hope it doesn't take passing, but I think it'll be the same thing with Nicki, where in years gone, we'll be looking at, oh God, she really was the person. And, you know, we then give her the appreciation that she deserves.
Yeah, it's true. The flowers. I mean, that's the thing. If you don't give people their flowers when they're alive to see them, then it doesn't necessarily negate the value of what they did, but it's just, I think it robs us of an opportunity to have a real celebration of our culture. And I think that's something that we probably did better. Previous generations, I think, did better. You know, there was a lot of respect, you know, the whole sort of elder, respecting your elders and stuff like that was pertinent. But look, I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, we're going to need to, like, Nicki Minaj is not an elder. Jay-Z is not really an elder. Like, they've been in the game, but it's still possible for young hot things like Doja Cat, like Meg, you know, to come in and surprise us and delight us with new peaks of success that we haven't seen, you know, not to the same scale, but it's still, you know, I always love it that someone like Doja Cat could have gotten famous off of a video saying, bitch, I'm a cow. Like, yeah, I'm glad we're here.
But, you know, like, yeah, no, but, like, you know what you're saying? You're saying Doja Cat's, like, basically like a remake of Nicki. Well, I think the people, you know, like you're saying, we don't appreciate them. I think the people who know, like, when I look at Drake and what some of the stuff he does, Drake's doing basically what Jay does. So you look at that and you think, okay, there's acknowledgement. He looks at that and he's learning. I think that's the thing. We look at the artists that come after and think, oh, they took some information from there. And I'm sure the artists would freely admit, hey, we were influenced by such and such. Majority of, like you're saying, when you, and I think the biggest sort of respect to Nicki is every female rapper who gets hot or comes good is compared to Nicki. They say she's the next Nicki. You had it with Cardi, with Remy. Everyone who comes up is compared to her. And that's to show that she's the blueprint. And I think you know, that's short of actually giving her a flowers. That's the best thing we can do right now.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding. You need only look around to see it. No, I hear you. So something else, just before we, like, wrap, because we just got a few minutes left, something I wanted to talk about is a very big thing Jay-Z has done. I would say this is very peak Jay-Z, and that is cell phone partnership strategies. I'm just reading here from Trapital. So that's trapital.co. And this is a 2019 essay. I'm not going to read the whole essay, just to give us some historical background. But Jay-Z has been on a career-long quest to turn his albums into B2B, so that's business-to-business, products that maximize mobile technology. So essentially what Jay-Z has done is he has linked his album releases to mobile companies, so very innovative mobile technologies. So with his Black album, he released the Black phone with Nokia, Nokia, in 2003. Yeah. And at the time, this phone, like, please look it up. It's the most 2003 phone I've ever seen in my life. but it was basically where he revolutionized the idea of buying music and carrying it around with you. Because obviously people were buying CDs, or people had a Walkman or had an MP3. But the idea that you could just be on your phone and bumping Jay-Z's album, it was insanely innovative. So, and this is exactly what we've been talking about with leverage. Jay-Z was able to leverage the fact that, you know, I'm Jay-Z, they're going to buy my album, you know, with this innovative technology. And it was a distribution strategy that he repeated. So some of them, not all of them have been successful, but he also did a collaboration with Motorola. And so, like, he tried to do, like, Jay-Z ringtones, and every, for a period of time, you get a weekly text and a voice message from Jay-Z.
I'll be really honest with you. I had the Jay-Z BlackBerry was trash, but I got it just because Jay said to get it. Like, that was a BlackBerry, yeah. Just, like I said, when Jay says get it, I get it.
When Jay says get it, so he's also had ones with Sprint. So the big one was with Samsung in 2013, his album Magna Carta Holy Grail. If you had a Samsung, you'd get 72 hours of access, and it, for $20 million deal, $5 million was used to buy 1 million albums at $5 each. Much better over whether, you know, he'd sold that directly to the public. So what ended up happening is that there was this whole thing with Billboard, and the rules actually changed so that digital albums would
from
sell.
99 oh problems to 1 million records.
Thank you, lady. Thank you, Joanna Stern. But yeah, basically he managed to get that these digital sales would count as albums, all through a partnership with these huge telecoms companies. Like, this is leverage. This is the scale that you can take it.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
Got the leverage. Yeah. When you've got the leverage, you know, you can get things done. So he knows, okay, they're going to come, you know. And also what's important is for the companies to know that you've got the leverage, to know what you bring to the table. So when they know, okay, Jay's the guy to do this and this for us, you can do really revolutionary things exactly like that.
We've talked a lot about Jay-Z's, you know, embodying being a black billionaire. Now, I know that we don't have many references of black billionaires, especially one that's so culturally... Did that car have to come back? Especially one that's got a universally relevant, you know, fingerprint in black culture across the diaspora. So do you think... So the question I want to ask you and the audience, do you think that anyone else can reach those heights that Jay-Z has had? Like, do you think, I'm just thinking of the Google, the Facebook, Microsoft, like, where do you think we can go with hip hop? Do you see like hip hop and AI? Like, do you see anyone touching the peaks of innovation? Because that black phone in 2003, right? That was cutting edge.
No, but I think right now the information's out there. And if you think of how many black artists have so much influence, I mean, think of Drake. Drake's been on top of music for God knows 10 years. If Drake puts something out, you don't think, you know, think of how many fans are going to go and support it. I think the information's out there now, which is really, really important for us. The information's out there. And we've got artists now, like, think of how much influence music artists have got in the world. And I just think it takes artists to think long term outside of the music. What can they do? But I think it's definitely possible. And what I think is important to look at is people improve by generations. So Jay-Z, you know, Jay and Diddy's generation are kind of the elder statesmen of rap. Then you got people right there in the middle, like your Drakes, then people like your Lil Baby. So I think there's always going to be. To answer your question, yes, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of it in certain cases.
Hip hop, but look, all I'm saying is that I asked my Siri the other day to rap for me, and it started rapping me a version of Super Bass. So I'm saying the rounds that we could touch, and I'm sure every time that happens, Inaki will rap you Biggie versus Ho versus, and I'm sure those people are getting paid every time. So. I don't know where we could go with this, but you're right. And I just think that hip hop does have a space at the forefront of technical innovation. And I just think I'm just obsessed with rappers. I'm obsessed with hip hop just for this. Look at the amount of conversation we had off a dude that started rapping at what, 25, 26?
Exactly. Exactly that. And I think, like you said, it's up to the artist to be innovative. Like we say, Jay's music catalog is not even a third of his net worth. That's because he's got his hand in so many things. He had the wherewithal to go, okay, I'll try this. I'll take risks. So it's down to the artists.
100%. Awesome. Okay, so where can the people find you?
You can find me, you can find my podcast, which is the Business at Heart podcast, on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. And then on IG, you can find me either the Business at Heart pod, or it's Dalitso Ngoma, which is D-A-L-I-T-S-O.
That's that. Why did you say your name like that?
Because that's how it's actually said. You know the T silent.
No, it's not.
You know the T silent. I'm offended.
The T silent?
I'm so offended.
Are you serious? Are you telling me the T, you're saying the T isn't silent?
No, the T isn't silent.
It is. It's Deliso. It's not. Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
How do you not know your own name?
Shut up.
That's embarrassing. Okay, right. It's now not. I have to do a proper ending. Wait, one second.
Yeah, I'll do a proper ending.
Okay, awesome. And what can you please just tell us a bit more about the podcast, what it's about, what people can expect to hear?
My podcast is sort of, I interview businessmen and entrepreneurs from separate industries. For many people that don't know, I am, I guess, the CEO of Rainbow Care Merseyside. And I was thinking, the reason I started the podcast was when I started out, there was no information out there, giving people's experiences, starting up their businesses and all that, and all of that stuff. So I thought to myself, wouldn't it be great if there was a platform where entrepreneurs can come and tell us about themselves, their journey, starting up their businesses and, the everyday trials they face. We've got a diverse amount of sort of people on the pod, and I'm quite excited to see sort of what we got for the rest of the year.
And you've so kindly asked me to be a guest on there as well, so
I'm so much looking forward to it.
To make sure that you look out for that episode. Okay, well, thank you so much just for coming on. This was a great conversation. The next episode of the podcast will be all about 50 Cent, the king of the screen. I'm really looking forward to that one, so make sure that you listen to that. And this was a podcast powered by Transmission Roundhouse. And sound editing is by Kojo Gozo. That is at Kojo Gozo on social media. And I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.